Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Tzadik Gimel, and we are 7 lines from the top of daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis. Yesterday, at the very end of the daf, we began the 6th Perek Masechtas Bava Basra, Perek HaMoicher Peiros, and as we saw, Perek HaMoicher Peiros begins on a very lumdisha note. It begins with the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, whether Holchim B'Mamon Acher Aroif or Ein Holchim B'Mamon Acher Aroif, a sugya that goes to the gut of Muchzik, Chaskas Momen, Hamoitzim Mechaveri, all of Araya. It goes to the gut of the sugyas of Roy v'Chazaka. Either way, it's something that's quoted throughout Shas. The Makar, however, is Bava Basra Dav Tzadik Beis, Bava Basra Dav Tzadik Gimel. So the sugya began with someone who sold a shor l'chaveroi, the nimtza nagchin. Reuven sold his shor to Shimon. After Shimon bought the shor, he was told that this shor is a nagchin, not a shor hamu'ud in the technical sense, but a shor that has tendencies to shtois. As a result, there's no way he's going to be able to keep the shor alive. The only way for him to have any value in this shor is by killing it, shechting it, eating the flesh. But to keep the shor alive, to have it be choyresh in his field, that's something that's not an option. And he goes back to the moicher now, he goes to Reuven, and he tells him, I would have never paid top dollar for a shor that I knew I wasn't going to have any use from. I thought I'd use it for the next 10 years, and afterwards I would shecht it and eat it. But for me to have to shecht it right now, mekachtois, it's not what I thought I was going to have to do. Says the Gemara, machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, I raise a mekachtois. He could claim mekachtois. Shmuel Amar, the moicher can tell the lekech l'shchita mecharta lecha. There's no mekachtois. What's the beer in the machlokes? And the Gemara talked about it a little bit, and then limaskada, right before the two dots on the top of daf tzadik beis amid beis, said the Gemara, it's totally really in hocha the mamon acharoif or in hocha mamon acharoif, because the metzias is that most people when they buy a shor, they buy it for the intention that this lekech is claiming. They buy it liradya. They buy it to be chayrish within the field. They don't buy it to shecht it and use it for dinner. They buy it liradya. So the truth is that the roiv is supporting the taina lekech. Rav holds hocha b'mamon achar roiv. The lekech's taina is supported by a roiv. So even though it was never mefurish, it wasn't stipulated at the time of the mechira, but roiv suggests that what the lekech is saying is correct. As a result, we take on the lekech's taina in court. Yochel loymar, he can say mekach tois, and he's going to get his money back. Shmuel holds, it's true the roiv is supporting the lekeach. It's true that most people, when they buy a shor, they buy it l'radya. They buy it to be chayrish. They don't buy it to shecht it and to eat it. However, ein holcha b'mamon, acher ha-roiv. And even though you find roiv in kol ha-teirah kula, not by mamon. Mamon is the one exception to the rule, where you don't go bas ha-roiv. So if you don't go bas ha-roiv by mamon, what you're left with is a shayla between the moicher and the lekeach, a sofik. What do you do when you have a suffik mamon? You leave everything where it is. Hamoitzah mechaveri, all of araya. So like Kayach's not going to be able to be moitzi, his money, mechaveri, from the meicher, merely with a tainas roiv, because roiv doesn't work in dine mamonis. What you're left with is the suffik without the roiv. Thus, hamoitzah mechaveri, all of araya. So this is the machloikis in Shas. Machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds hocha b'mamon achar roiv. Shmuel holds ein hocha b'mamon achar roiv. The makar again is bava basra daf tzadik beis. The context is hamoicher shor l'chaveroi v'nimtza nagchin. The metzias is roiv people do buy shvarim l'radya. They buy l'charisha. If you could assume that roiv, then he can come now with a tain of mekach tois. This is a shor nagchin. I can't use a l'charisha. If not, not. That's the machloikis. Either way, says the Gemara, simin isha ve'eved shor shorin uperos. And these are simonim for the different kashas that the Gemara is now going to ask on Rav and Shmuel respectively throughout the Gemara. And this is of the beginning of the second parak of Masechtas Ksubas fame. Second parak of Masechtas Ksubas is called the Isha Shenes Almana. It's this Mishnah right here. So a woman was divorced, or she became an almana. She now wants to collect her ksuba. If she was divorced, she wants to collect the ksuba from her husband. If she became an almana, she's going to her husband's Yisoyman. He, Meresh, she says, Bsula, and he says, I was a Bsula when I got divorced. When I got married. As a result, I'm entitled to the ksuba that a Bsula is supposed to get. I'm supposed to get Masayim Zuz. But who? And he says, Loike, Allah, Mana, and Sasich. No. When I married you, you were Amana. All you're entitled to get is Amana. Im Yeshedim Shiotzavainu Bavresha Perua. If there are Edim that can prove that when she got married, she observed the customs that the Bsula is used to observe, that's a raya that she was a Bsula, that she's saying, right, ksuba asa Masayim, then she's going to get Masayim. But if she can't prove that she was a Bsula at the time that she got married, then the halacha is all she's going to get is a mana. Because a mana she vaday gets, the other mana, it's a suffix. So bring Edom to prove that you're a Basula, we'll give you the $200. But otherwise, all you're getting is the mana, all you're getting is the $100. Says the Gemara, time to get Edom. The only reason, or the only way she'd be able to get the Messiah is if she has Edom. If there are no Edom, why shouldn't she be able to get the extra $100 even without, there obviously was no Ksuba. Why don't you go Basarov? Verov, Nashim, Basulais, Nisais. Most women that get married, are they Basulais or are they Amonais? Of course they're Basulais. So why don't you assume, Roiv, that she's from the majority of chasanas that take place, which are with Basulais, and based on that, she should be able to get the $200. Elamai, it's a raya, ain't hocha b'mama, nacha Roiv. It's a raya to Shmuel, it's a kash and rav. I'm a ravina, mishrum, ikel meimar, Roiv nash and Basulais. So it says ravina, no. This is a little bit different. Because it's true, you're right. There is a Roiv that says that this woman is from the majority of women that get married who are basulais. But at the same time, umiyat almanis. There are women that get married that are almanis. It's not like all the women that get married are basulais. There are chasanas that take place on a regular basis that involve women that have been previously married. V'chol anisei basula yesh lo koil. And when a basula gets married, people talk about it. There's a koil. When an almana or someone that's been married before gets married, it doesn't make so much noise. V'zu hayol ve'in lo koil. And being that there was no koil with regards to this wedding, how do you know there was no call? Because if there was a call, people would have known. Seems like no one really knows what happened over here. Isra Laruba. So that constitutes a reyesa on the roif, and it's for that reason you can't go bust the roif. So says the Gemara, Rav will tell you really, but this roif has a reyesa. There's an issue with this roif. What's the reyesa? Because countering the roif, kineget the roif, there's this reyesa, that if she was really a basula, how come no one knows about it? When a basula gets married, everybody knows about it. Afraid to Gemara, if it's true that kol anisos basula is eshlam kol, that every time a basula gets married, there's a kol ki ike edim ahavi. Then even if edim step forward and edim say that she was a basula, we shouldn't trust the edim because mid the less the kol, being that there was no kol, sadi shakrinenu. It's a ride that they're lying. Edim are not believe kineged something that we know b'teres vaday. So if every single time a basula gets married, there's a kol, and when this woman got married, there was no kol, so you have a raya then that she wasn't a basula. If you have a raya, she wasn't a Basula, just like the Roiv Noshim Basulais Nisais gets knocked out, the Haggadah's Edom, so the Edom should also get knocked out. Because how could Edom be believed to go Kineged a Metzias? The Metzias is telling us that this woman wasn't a Basula. Because if she was a Basula, people would have known about it. Because every single time a Basula gets married, people talk, says the Gemara. You're right. You have to say, Elo Roiv HaNisais Basulais Yeshlam Kal. Not every single time a basula gets married, there's a kol. If every single time a basula got married, there's a kol, that means if there's a chasam without a kol, we know for sure she's not a basula. Even if Edom say she's a basula, they wouldn't be believed. What it means is that most of the times when a basula gets married, there's a kol. But there are times where a basula gets married and there wouldn't be a kol. It's for that reason that if Edom come and they say that we know for sure she was a basula, that Edom would be married. But at the same time, being that there's a roiv over here that's saying that she wasn't a basula, again, which roiv? The roiv that says that had she been a basula, it would have been a girl. It counters the roiv that says that most women that get married are basulas. The point is, you have a roiv, kineged a roiv. The roiv, kineged a roiv, forces you to say, hamoitza mechaveri, all of a roiv. So at first glance, we thought you have a roiv from this mission of Perak Yishish in the Salma, that ain't hochav mamon acharoiv, because the hochav mamon acharoiv, whenever you have a suffix, whether a woman was a basula or an almana, say roiv nashim that get married a basulois, and she should be a basula, even without edim, she should be able to get her messiahs. The teretz is, it's true there's a roiv saying that she was a basula, but there's also a roiv saying faker. There's a roiv that's saying that she was not a basula, because roiv says that if she was a basula, there would have been a cup. What you left with is a roiv connected roiv, they cancel each other out. Another raya, and this one's a kasha on Shmuel, not a kasha on Rav. If somebody sells his evet to his friend, so the buyer buys the slave, and then he finds out that this slave that he bought is a ganav, or he's a goynev nefashis, he's a kidnapper. He can't come to the moicha now and say, I thought I was buying a civilized. No, you're stuck. You can't get your money back. Listen to Mizuyan. Let's say he finds out this guy works for the mob. Or he's on death row. He's going to be killed. Then he can come back to him and he can tie him back. Meaning if he finds out that this guy steals the petty cash that lies around the house, then he can't come with a tie of mekach tois. If he finds out that he's part of some gang, he kills people, first degree murder, he's some real madman, then already he can come with a mekach tois. Says the Gemara, Reisha my time. What's pshat in the Reisha? Why is it that if you find out that he's an ordinary ganev, in that case, you're stuck? Lab mishum the ruba hachiyisno. It's probably because Rav Avadim are like that. So what do you see from there? You see holcha b'mamen achar roiv. Because if ain't holcha b'mamen achar roiv, then roiv wouldn't be machriya. If roiv wouldn't be machriya, so there'd be no reason to say that this person is stuck with his eved. He should be able to come back and claim that I never bought an eved that's a ganev. To me, I was going to profit off this eved. In the meantime, I'm losing money because this guy's stealing everything around the house. Says the Gemara, Loi, it could be, it's not because there's a roiv avodim that are ganovim, but kulu hachi yisno. It's more than a roiv. They're all ganovim. Maybe you'll get lucky, you'll find the exception to the rule, but ganov, avodim are ganov. And being that they're ganovim, it's for that reason, it's more than a roiv. So it's true, Shmuel holds, ain't holchim amam and achar haroiv. But if they're all that way, it's something that's so obvious, it's so explicit, even Shmuel would have no choice but to be moida, and it's for that reason, if somebody buys an eved, he finds out that he's a ganov, he can't come with a taina. It's not because I'm coming with a roiv. Roiv doesn't work in dinei mamonis. It's more than a roiv. They're all that way. You knew that. Sova v'kibel, you can't come now and claim mekach tois. Tashma, the third raya. This too is going to be a kash on ra. Sounds familiar. So a shor shtois the para, and there's a dead para. But there was also a dead baby para lying on the side. In yadua, and the suffix is, the question is, how did this baby die? Did this baby die as a result of the shor shenagach? So when the shor was nagach the para, it was a para that was expecting. It had a child inside of it, so that the shor killed two animals. It killed the mother and it killed the child. Or maybe no. Maybe this child was born before the shor shenagach. It miscarried the child, so that the owner of the shor shouldn't be responsible. So what's the halacha? So it's the Mishnah. Meshalim chatzi nezek the parah. You pay chatzi nezek for the parah, assuming the shor was a shor tam. So a shor tam doesn't pay nezek shalim. He pays chatzi nezek. He vadai was Nogach the para, so you pay your regular chatzin nezek like every shor tam does. V'reviel of vlad, but the vlad you only pay half. What's the svara that you only pay half? Because it's a sofik if you even shtois the vlad. Momen amutal the sofik chalkin. In the worst case scenario, you would have to pay half the vlad because all you are is a shor tam. Now you pay half of a half, thus you end up playing reviel. Gemara says, "Amani sumchesi the omer momen amuta besafik chalkin." Freak the Gemara v'amai geshmaki kasha. Why is it that shor shenagach kasapara? According to sumches, we look at it as a momen amuta besafik lei mahalach achar roiv paris. Why do you assume roiv? For roiv paris misavris v'yaldos, most paris do not miscarry. So let roiv tell us that this para probably didn't miscarry. What happened was the shor shtoist it. It killed the para and it killed the child. So that the Baal HaShor should be chayef. Elamai, it's a raya that ain't holchim amamen achar roiv. Meaning, because if you would go baser roiv, v'avadei machbas nechifa apila, then roiv would tell us that this child, this baby para, certainly died machmas the negicha, says the Gemara. No. It could be, there it's different. The suffix is not whether the mother miscarried or whether the mother's child died as a result of the shor shenagach. That's the way you learn the Mishnah. That's the way we've always learned it. But says the Gemara, him bava baser daf tzav dekim olam and aleph, in light of Shita's Rav, who holds halacha b'mamon acharoiv, you're going to have to say the shaila is a little different. Because if the shaila was, did it miscarry, or did it die machmas the shor shenagach, Rav would tell you it died machmas the shor shenagach. Because Rav parois are mesavris v'yodis. They don't miscarry. What was the shaila? The shaila was something else. We shouldn't have a savkan. They could also we're positive that the shor shtois this animal, according to Rav. If holchim b'mamon achar roiv, there's no reason we shouldn't apply the concept of roiv here. So we're very, very confident that the way this baby died was via the shor shenagach. The shaila is, did the shor hit the mother and the baby died at the same time as the mother died because of the impact of the negicha? Or maybe the mother saw the shor coming towards it, it scared it. The fright of the oncoming shor is what caused the baby to die. That's when the mother miscarried. And then when the shor hit the para, it was a regular shor shenagach kasapara, the para died. Meaning there's a svara to say that even if the shor is what caused the baby to die, but it could be it wasn't the impact of the shor that caused the baby to die. It could be the shor scared the mother. Makes sense. It's certainly reasonable. And that caused the mother. So it's true. Usually Porush do not miscarry. But here there's an umdura that maybe you would have miscarried, because we know there was a shor shenogach, and a shor shenogach would cause a mother to miscarry. Something that makes a lot of sense. L'maynaf gemino, if the baby died machmas the shor shenogach, then the bala shor is going to be chayif. But if the baby died machmas the shor skearing, zok the Rashbam, you know what that is? That's grumma ben azokin. And madach grumma ben azokin is potter by your adam amazik. So if you scare someone and then something happens to him, you're not chayif b'dinei adam, you're only chayif b'dinei shemayim. Then grumma ben azokin b'shor amazik, certainly you should be potter. That's the shaila. The shaila is not, again, whether this was an ordinary miscarriage. Of course this was an ordinary miscarriage. I don't know for sure, but Rife certainly tells me that that's not what happened. It makes a lot of sense. Any person with a little common sense would tell you, women don't usually miscarry, or potters don't usually miscarry. As a result, this probably has something to do with the shor shenogach. Shaila, we know that, but is it the shor shenogach, the shor shtoist it, and that's when it died? Or maybe it scared it, and that caused it to miscarry. That's a very... already a very reasonable tzad. What you're left with is a mamon amut v'safik, a mamon amut v'chalkin. That's the mamon amut v'safik. That's what sumchus comes into the Mishnah of shor shenogach hasapar. So now you know the rest of the story with shor shenogach hasapar. Says the Gemara, leve ketanoi. Maybe this machlokes Rav and Shmuel is really a machlokes tanoi. Shor shayir raya. There was a shor that was raya. V'nimtza shor harug b'tzidoi. And right next to this one shor that's doing its thing, you know, whistling, making believe nothing happened, reading the paper, there's a shor that's hurrying out inside. Even if the shor that's lying on the ground was menugach, clearly it was gored. And the shor that's whistling, minding its own business, is a shor amud. Or zem menushach, the one that's lying on the ground, was bitten. And this one is a muad. So it seems like this good circumstantial evidence that this shor is guilty. Ein oimrim. We do not say biyodua shezen nokhe vezen noshchei. The halach is, say, the chachomim in this braisa, no. Even though it would make a lot of sense to argue that we have our culprit, loved after. Ravacha oimer, Ravacha said a different halach. Gom halo icher ben agmalim. If there was a gomer that was oichel ben agmalim, says Rashbam, what does it mean? He was oisik betashmish. V'nimtza gomel harik betzidai. And next to this gomel that was doing tashmish, there was another gomel that was found dead. Biyodua shezeh hargai. We assume for sure that this gomel, that's oisik betashmish, killed the gomel on the side. Why? Says the Rashbam, kustam behemois, b'shas tashmish mishtagois. B'shas tashmish, they become crazy. Umatim schar zezeh. And therefore, again, there's circumstantial evidence that this gomel probably killed. Says the Gemara. So you have a machlekes over here. Rabach and the Chacham. When you have a situation where there seems to be a guilty party, a shor, a gomel, respectively, and there's a shor harug b'tzidai, there's a gomel harug b'tzidai, do we assume that the shor amur killed the shor? We don't know. We don't have Aden. Nobody saw it. But you have a dead shor, and you have a shor amur right next to it. Sounds like maybe there's a good chance the shor amur killed it. Or you have a gomel being oisik b'tashmish. We know animals can go crazy b'shas tashmish, and there's a dead gomel on the side. So do you assume that the gomel or the shor killed or not? Zok tigmaras. So avruad rubu v'chazaka ki adotin deu. That roiv and chazaka the same. What does that mean? There's really no roiv in this gemara. But what there is a chazaka. Not a cheskas raya, as in cheskas abatim. What you have is a cheskas umdana. There's an umdana. There's certainly circumstantial evidence telling us that we may know who the guilty party is. Yet there's a shaila, could we assume or not? Zok tigmar, maybe roiv and chazaka is the same. If that's the case, maybe the machloik is Rav Achan the Chachomim, is the machloik is Rav and Shmuel. Maybe Rav Domek Rav Acha, which Shmuel Domek Etanakamo. Backwards the Gemara works. Rav Acha that said that we assume that the gomel that's Isaac Patashmish killed this gomel that's on the side. He holds like Rav. Hochem the Maman Achar Roiv. So too Hochem the Chazoka Achar Roiv. So there's a Chazoka that this gomel is the Reitzeach. That's why the halacha is we assume. Whereas the Chachamim hold like Shmuel that ain't hochem b'mamon achar roiv. If ain't hochem b'mamon achar roiv, ain't hochem achar cheskas umdena achar roiv either. V'shmuel damek the Tanakama. So the Gemara, no. Amad l'chirav and no damek the Tanakama. I hold even like the Tanakama. Meaning it's true you see from the Tanakama that ain't hochem b'chazoka achar roiv. But at kan l'koma Tanakama hosam when the Tanakama said el doi zlina basa chazoka. Avo basa ruba azlina. But basa roiv, maybe you do go. Meaning the Gemara is assuming savrua the ruba v'chazoka ki adadinino. The Gemara is saying lein katanoi based on a huge assumption that roiv and cheska sumdana are the same. Now, by the way, ruba v'chazoka, ruba adiv, but that's usually a roiv keneged the chazoka that's machriya sveikis. This is a little bit of a different chazoka. We're not going to go into that now. But that's a little bit of a different chazoka. This is a cheska sumdana, right? There's so many different definitions of the word chazoka. We spoke a little bit about that in Akdoma to Parak cheska sabatim. So cheska sumdana and roiv are very similar. They're both umdana type ideas. It makes sense that this is probably what happened. So the Gemara thought Rav and Chazaka is the same. So if Hochab Maman Achar Rav, Hochab Chazaka Achar Rav. If Ein Hochab Maman Achar Rav, Ein Hochab Chazaka Achar Rav. And it was based on that, the Gemara said, Lemecha Tanoi. But the Gemara says, very obviously, it's not Muchach. That maybe, says Rav, I'll tell you, everybody agrees that Hochab Maman Achar Rav. Either the Machlik is Rav Achim the Chachomim. There is a Shittas Chachomim that Ein Hochab Chazaka Achar Rav. That's true. Rav Lachod, the Chazaka Lachod. It's not necessarily the same thing. If Shmuel Amalachan, Shmuel will go just the opposite. Shmuel who holds Ein Hochab Maman he have a Rav Acha that says Holchem bechazaka acharoyf. I'm a lach. He'll tell you. I know that. I'm a filler Rav Acha. I hold even like Rav Acha. I come to come Rav Acha. Awesome. When did Rav Acha say Holchem acha chazaka? That does linon basa chazaka. The hu gufei muchzik. There it's a little bit different. There we have a reason to believe that this gamal killed. We have reason to believe that this shar killed. The umdana that we have that's telling us that we think we found the guilty party is the thing itself. But if you have to get involved in a ruba da alma, such as in the case of Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, where somebody bought a shor, and the shaila is, did you buy it with the intention to use it l'radya, or did you buy it with the intention to use it l'shchita? We don't have any information about this lekeach, other than the fact that he is a member of planet Earth, and most people on planet Earth think a certain way. So it makes sense that you're probably like most people, and you probably thought along those same lines as well. But there's nothing about you that we know that's telling us one way or another. It could be that's a little bit shvachet. There's a lot of lumdus here. The Rashbam throws in Ruba the Issa come on, Ruba the Lesa come on. Had we started earlier, we for sure would have gotten into it today. Maybe we'll get into it at the end of the daf. Maybe we'll get into it tomorrow. But this is a very important lumdus over here that's before in the Gemara. But either way, says the Gemara, it's not muchach that the machlik is Rav Acha and the Rabbanon Atali in this machlik is Rav and Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Toshma, one final raya. Our Mishnah, which we'll see, was expounded upon in a brisa. The Mishnah said, if somebody sells peiros, and that's how this sugi got involved over here, v'zoron, he bought the tefuah, in his mind, he was going to take the tefuah, he was going to plant it, he was going to sow it in the field, and things were going to grow. The light samchu, but nothing grew. V'afilu zera pishton, even if what he bought was flaxseed, something that most people, most flaxseed is used lizrio. Daloch is enichai b'achriyusan. You can't go back to the moicher. My afilu. What does afilu mean? Lav afilu zerapishon drubel lizrio. What's the chiddush afilu zerapishon? The majority of flaxseed that sold lizrio, still, the lekech can't go to the moicher and say, I have a roiv. Roiv is telling me that I bought a lizrio, and now that I couldn't be zereya with it, so it's a classic mekach tois. Vafilu hakilaz lina basaruba. So it's a mishnah lechura. That's mefurish that ein holchem mamon achar roiv. So it's a kashan rav, says the Gemara Tanoi. You're right. The Mishnah is a kashan rav. The Mishnah is like Shmuel. Had his rav argue with a Mishnah? I thought rav's tana upolix. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow as well. Says the Gemara, it's really a machloikis tana. Meaning this halach in the Mishnah b'machloikis clear. The tanya went to the brisa. Amlicha peres l'chaveru. A little bit of a convoluted brisa. Somebody sells peres l'chaveru. Mamashar Mishnah v'zoron. He took the peres, dropped it in the ground. V'loit samchus and ishkish pratz. Zaloi negino she'nachol l'chaveru. If he bought something that only is sold for its ria, meaning nobody ever eats it, like these garden seeds, then that loch is chai b'chriyusan. He's going to be chai, because it's pashat that the lekech bought it, lizria. There's nothing else to do with it. Zera pishtan, if it's something that only most of the times are used lizria, then ain't chai b'chriyusan. Because although most of the times it's used lizria, so that would support the argument of the lekech, I bought something, lizria, I planted it, nothing grew, and by the way, it's something that most people buy lizria, it's true, but because it's only most, it's not all. What's the side of this? But there's two other opinions in this brayse. I mean, this adkan was all in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi continues in the brayse, and he says, no, noisan loyd mezara, you have to give him his money back. Because being that roif people, roif flaxseed is sold to Zriya, you get your money back. Amrulai, so the Chachamim told him, and the Gemara's mavur, this is a third shita. Amrulai, they told Rabbi Yossi, it's true that most flaxseed is sold lizria. However, harbei loikhenoisai ludvar machem. But many, many, many people buy this flaxseed for other things. They buy it to eat, they buy it for nyani refuah, they buy it for other things as well. So that although it's true that if you want to look at the majority of flaxseed, most flaxseed is sold lizria, because when people buy it in bulk, that's what they're doing with it. But most people that walk into a store to buy the Zera Pishlan, they actually don't buy a Lizria. They buy it for other things. So you could look at the Roiv from the Zera Pishlan perspective. You can look at the Roy from the buyers of the Zerapishnam perspective. If you look at it from the Zerapishnam perspective, most of them sold as Ria. That would support the argument of the Lekeach. That'd be a reason for him to get his money back. I bought something with Ria, and Roy is supporting me. This Tana holds, I want my money back. But if you look at the Roy from the standpoint of the buyers, most buyers actually buy it Lachir. So Amru Loi told Rabbi Yossi, I agree with you, Holchav Maman Achar Roiv. But even if Holchav Maman Achar Roiv, you're looking at it the wrong way. In other words, there's three shitas in the Braisa. The first is the shita of the Mishnah, Ein Holchav Maman Achar Roiv. I don't care that Roiv pitched on the soul of Zriya. And I don't care you're telling me now that in your mind you bought a Lazria and you couldn't be Zareya with it. At the end of the day, Ein Holchav Maman Achar Roiv. The second and the third shitas of the Braisa are, the second shita is that Holchav Maman Achar Roiv. The third shita is that I agree, Holchav Maman Achar Roiv, but even if Holchav Maman Achar Roiv, that's still not a reason for you to get your money back. Because although Roiv Zera Pishton are sold with Zeria, but Roiv Loikhin, most people that buy it, don't buy it for that reason. And so that, therefore, you, even if you're going to work with a Roiv, you can't get it. Either way, the Gemara said, this Braisa right here maybe is Tully in the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Mantanoi, where do you see it? Is it the second and the third Shita? Rabbi Yosef and the Amrulai, Travai Basaruba Azli. The way we just explained it, they both hold you go Basarayf. Ma Razal Basaruba de Inchi, Ma Razal Basaruba de Zriya. The question is, do you look at Roy Flaxseed or do you look at Roy People? Ella says the Gemara, Itanakam of Rabbi Yosef, Itanakam of Amrulai. The Machloikis is, the Tanakam of this Braisa clearly held that in Holchav Maman Achar Roiv, like our Mishnah held. Then again, you have a Rabbi Yossi and an Amrulai who both hold Holchav Maman Achar Roiv. They're arguing whether you get your money back because they're arguing how to look at the Roiv. Do you want to look at Roiv Zera Pishtan or do you want to look at Roiv Buyers? But at the end of the day, you have your Machloikis, whether Holchav Maman Ein Holchav Maman, says the Gemara, that is the Lema Ketanoi. This Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, whether Holchav Maman Achar Roiv or Ein Holchav Maman Achar Roiv. So just a few ha'aris regarding the Sugya of Rav and Shmuel. So maybe we'll do one more shver ha'ara and one lighter ha'ara. And we'll save the rest either for tomorrow or some other day. Either way, Tosfos, Masechtas Bava Kamma, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, right in the beginning of Perek HaMiniach, and Tosfos, Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, ask the same very obvious, very gewaldig akasha. And that is, how could Shmuel hold Ein Holchav Maman Achar Roiv? We know that even by Dinei Nefashos, you go Basar Roiv. We call it Teiru Kula. You go Basar Roiv. Achrei Rabbah Mahatas. So if you always go Basar Roiv, even by Dinei Nefashos, says Tosfos Tema, my time ain't Holchav. Why in the world would Shmuel hold ain't Holchav Maman Achar Roiv? And the way Tosfos asks the kasha is Lasi b'kalva chaymi b'dinei Nefashos. Why don't we learn a kalva chaymi b'dinei Nefashos? Madach by Dinei Nefashos. If you have, for example, a panel of 23 dayot, and 13 say you're chayiv, and 10 say you're zakai, holchav b'dinei nefashos achar roiv. Even if you have a circumstantial roiv, Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Perek Ben Soyer Umayr, nothing to do with roiv dayonim. There too you go basar roiv. The point is, you see, you always go basar roiv b'dinei nefashos. Because if you always go basar roiv b'dinei nefashos, say kal v'chaymer b'dinei nefashos, you should go basar roiv here as well. In Yeshiva, by the way, they're very bothered on Tosfos. Teresh Shmuel has an arichos. Why Tosfos asks kal v'chaymer b'dinei nefashos? Tosfos should have asked more pasha. You see, by dinei mamonis, you always go basar roiv. If you have a dinei mamonis b'shleisha, there's three dayanim, and two say Reuven owes money, and one say Reuven doesn't owe money. So you don't say mamon amut on the sof chalkim because it's two against one. You say achri rabim lahatos holchem b'dinei mamonis achar roiv. So you see, in achri rabim lahatos, you go basar dinei mamonis achar roiv. So why did Tosfos have to come on to a kal v'chaymer b'dinei nefashos? I mean, it's a little bit more gishmak maybe, but Tosfos should have said more glat, more pointed. Avada you go b'dinei mamonis achar roiv. So maishna roiv dayanim, you do go basar roiv, whereas a roiv such as Rubel Radius Avni, you don't go basar. Either way, that's Tosfos kasha. So Tosfos in Perek HaMiniach says a lumdish of teretz. We've spoken about Tosfos teretz in the past. There's Reb Chaim and stencils about this. So in kamakoyim, that stuff we've already spoken about. But in beis medrash v'leichidish, Tosfos masechta Sanhedrin daf gimel amud beis says a different teretz. Tosfos says at the very end, v'tzaruch loymar, you have to say the Rubel Radius Avni, this roiv of the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that most people, when they buy a shor, they buy with the intention to use it l'charisha, not to kill it and to eat it for dinner. That roiv, loy choshev ki hanech ruba. It's not such a choshev roiv. It's a little bit of a shvacher roiv than all the other roivs. Hilchach is for that reason, loy samchina nahach ruba v'dinin amaminis. So it says, Tosfos a gevaldig echidish, that ordinarily, holchav amaman achar roiv. It's true, if holchav v'dinin avashas achar roiv, kal v'chaymer holchav amaman achar roiv. Aye, there's a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, there's a shita Shmuel, they're not arguing by all roiv. Lives. Don't make that mistake. Don't walk away from the beginning of Perek HaMoicha Peres and say, I know that even though Rav works and Kalatai Rekula, not Dine Mominus. Why? I don't know, but not Dine Mominus. Cheskes Momin, you come to me with all the lumnus, which Tais himself already speaks out in Bava Kamach of Zayin Amid Beis. Tais buys into all the lumnus, but not in Sanhedrin. The Bali Taisvis, when they were writing on Sanhedrin, Daf Gimel Amid Beis, had a whole different hashkafa. And how you look at the sugya of Ein Hoch of Mamon Achar Rav. It has nothing to do with Dine Mominus. But the Rav itself that's being discussed in that sugya is a shvacher Rav. That kind of roiv that's not choshuv ki hanoch, there ain't hocham mamon achar roiv. But if you'd have a good, strong roiv, avad over there, the halacha would be that hilchin the mamon achar roiv. But the question is, why? What's wrong with this roiv? What's the problem? What's not choshuv about the roiv in our sugya that Tosfos says that even though ordinarily hocham mamon achar roiv, over here the halacha is going to be ain't hocham mamon achar roiv. Zok to avni maluim, in simen mem hei, sif katan beis, I'm going to tell you pshat. Based on Rishonim, Ritva, and Ramban, in our Ish Mekadesh, Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Nun Amud Beis. The Gemara over there was discussing, there was a man and a woman that were engaged, and engaged in the sense of the way we have engagement today. They made up that they were going to get married, there was no Kedushin, nothing really happened. This man sent a very expensive gift to his kala, what in the times of Chazal was known as Sivloinois. The Shaila was, do we have to assume that when he sent the Sivloinois, he had in mind that the Sivloinois should constitute Kesef Kedusha? If it constitutes Kesef Kedusha, then when he sent the Sivloinois, even if he sent it Al Yidei Shliach, maybe now she should get married. Or perhaps no, maybe he's just sending a gift, but he doesn't necessarily have a mind to be Mekadesh. Says the Gemara, L'chur, at first glance, you would say that it's not really a Shaila in Halacha, it's not something you should ask your Rav. It really should be told you what the minhag hamakom is. What's the custom of that place? Meaning, do people sometimes send sivloinos when they're chasen kala, even though they're not really married? Then there's no reason to assume that he was mekadesh. If the minhag, however, is that people did not send sivloinos when they were chasen kala, first they would be mekadesh, and then afterwards they would send the sivloinos. Then there's an umdino that he probably meant to be mekadesh with these sivloinos, because to go ahead and send a silver esrog box or something while you're chasen kala, that's something that doesn't make any sense. Either way, says the Gemara, L'chura Pshita, this whole halacha doesn't make sense. We need a sugya here in Perek Ish Mekadesh. What does it have to do with a Rav? It should really be Tali in what the Minhag HaMakom is. Says the Gemara, and there's a shayla in what the girsa of the Gemara is, but the girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel in that Gemara was, Lo Tzricha, we're talking about a place where the Ruba Mesavavad Mekadesh. Most people would send gifts when they were Chasen Kala. They wouldn't wait necessarily until after the Kedushin to send the gift. No, they would send gifts even when they were Chasen Kala. Umiyuta Mekachi Vadasavi. But there were some people that would never do that. No, you want a gift? Marry me. Then you're going to get a gift. But up until that point, you're not getting anything. That you shouldn't be chayish for the miyut, and you should assume roiv. So there's no reason in the world to assume that maybe this couple is married. Kamash Malon. Kamashmalot, that as long as there's a myriad of people that would not send a gift unless they're married, we are chayish that maybe this person's from the myriad, we're chayish that maybe he was mekadesh this woman, and misafik there's going to be an ishus over here. As I zok to Gemara. In other words, the Gemara sent a gevaldik chidsh, that we have a safik here when this person sent the gift. Did he mean to marry her? Did he not mean to marry her? Ordinarily, you would assume raif. Raif people have no problem sending gifts, so why in the world would you think that if a chassan sends his kala a gift, that means that all of a sudden they're married? Most people don't do that. But being that some people do it, says the Gemara, kamash malan dechayshin ala miyuta, that we're going to be chayish for the miyut. And the obvious question is why? Freik the ritva, vizel ha-shoyinai, v'ikash alecha, v'kaim lan karabon, lechayshin ala miyuta, afil l'chumra. We always go basar roi. Even l'chumra, l'kula, it doesn't matter. So why over here are we taking on this new chumra that we're going to be chayish for the miyuta and assume that maybe there's a condition over here? Says the ritva, and the Ramban says it as well, a gevaldigi yasayid, ikka le meymar. The hosam, in that sugya, there's a roi. But the roif is enoi bedover chiyuv v'teva. Rather, it's a dover hatoli b'rotzai. Says the Ritva, you know when you say you go bas a roif, that's something that's toli in chiyuv, or something that's toli in teva. Let's talk about teva. It's a little bit simpler. And he gives two examples, does the Ritva. One example is, we know this machlekes remain in the chachamim, whether a katan and a katana could do yibum, or a katan and a katana can not do yibum. The Rabbanon hold, a katan and a katana could do yibum. Because we go baser roif. Rameis chayish lemiyuta, you can't. What's the roif in the miyut over there? Every time there's a girl that's a ketana, there's always a tzad. Maybe she's an islandess. And when she grows old, we're going to find out she was an islandess. An islandess doesn't follow yibum. If somebody's miyabim an islandess, he's being boiled eishas ach shalei b'makom mitzvah. It's a chayvi krisos. a katan, there's always a possibility that maybe he'll be a saris. If he's a saris, he doesn't fully yibum. If he's going to be boil, again, it's eshesach, shlobim makom mitzvah. So you have to be chayish that maybe this katan's going to be a saris? You have to be chayish maybe this katan's going to be an islandess? The chacham say no. Right, most times it's not that way, why do you have to be worried? This is the famous Shitas Ramei and Shas, who's Chashim Lemiyuta. He says, I'm worried this Kata may be a Saurus. I don't let him do Yibum. Chalitza. I'm worried that this Ktana may be an Islandess one day. I'm not letting him do Yibum. She's going to have to do Chalitza. That's a Reuven Miyot that's totally Beteva. It's totally in a Metzias. It's totally in the Metzias. Most people are not Islandess. Most people are not Saurus. Some are, but most aren't. The Rabbanon hold, you go Basar Reuv, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, you never have to don that. Says the Ritva, but a minute, a Reuv that's totally in Minig, or Reuv that's totally in Ratzin, where you have a Reuv, but it's not based on a Metzias, not based on a scientific statistical fact, but it's more that most people prefer vanilla over chocolate. Most people like Coke over Pepsi. It's a davar toli beratzin. It's true. You can take a survey, and the survey will say that most people vote Republican over Democrat. But it's not, or Democrat over Republican. It's not in their DNA. It's not a davar a toli beteva. It's not a mitzvah. It's punk. That's the custom. That's the fad. That's the socially cool thing to do. That's just the way people think. That rov is a shvacher rov, says the Ritva. That rov, the chachamim hold, you have to be chayish lemiut. So this Reuv over here, it's totally in the custom. Am I one of those people that I conform 100% to what everyone around me does? And on me, if I'm a chassin, I don't send a gift. Or I will send a gift. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm a nonconformist. Maybe I do my own thing. So in that instance over there, what you're going to be left with is a Reuv that's totally beratzin. Reuv that's totally beratzin as a bissel eshvach. Frek, davni meluim, gewalt. I don't understand this ritva. It's a geshmak ritva when you learn kedushin, but it's not a geshmak ritva if you don't call it teira kula. Because how does it do with the sugi that we just learned? The sugi that we have mecha peiros. Yeah, the machlik is Rav and Shmuel, where somebody sold a shar, and the question was, when the buyer bought the shar, what was he thinking? Was he thinking I'm buying a shar to work in my field, or was he thinking I'm buying a shar to have dinner for the next 3 months? What was going through his mind? Says the Gemara, if you hold halacha b'mamanach harayv. If you hold, but what do you see? Zokta Avni Meluim. Reuv would work. This Reuv is a davar atoli b'chiyuv. I'm not danning chiyuvim over here. Is a Reuv atoli b'teva? It's nothing to do with mitzias. It's atoli b'rotzim. What does the man think? Ask the man on the street what goes through your mind when you buy something. It's totally a minig. It's totally a rotzim. So if it's totally a minig and rotzim, freak Avni Meluim. Chabam afurish sugi over here. Zokta Avni Meluim. You have to say pshat based on the Ramban and the Mochamis, the in kam mekoyim laharich. Oh, but one thing the Avni Meluim says that is kam mekoyim laharich. One thing we can be marviach is toisus on hedjun afgim lo days. Toisus doch gefrekt akasha ein holcha b'mamanach haroiv kal v'chomer b'dinei nefashis. Madach b'dinei nefashis go b'saroiv. You certainly should go b'saroiv when it comes to dinei mamanis. Zok the Avni Meluim. What did toisus say? What did toisus say? Maybe this roiv is in a chashuv kolkach. And kam mekumas in nishtavru. What did toisus mean? Why is this Reuv not so chashiv? Zokdamu, it's this Ritva. It's this Ritva. Because Rubel Aradya Zavni is a Reuv that's totally beminik. It's a Reuv at totally beratzin. The Ritva was already mechiach from Kedushin after the Beis Azasot Reuv as a Shvach HaRoy. Or to doff the beer in Taisvis. The beer in Taisvis is that it's true, it's a Reuv, and ordinarily you should go bust a Reuv. And you say the punchline of the Gemara's we learned yesterday and today is not Ein Hochem B'momenach HaRoy. It's that this Reuv is not a good Reuv. It's a Shvach HaRoy. In a in the same way that the Reuv in Kedushin Afgunon Beis, like the Girsa of Rabbeinu Chananu was a Shvacher Reuv, this Reuv is going to be a Shvacher Reuv as well. Either way, just one final light ha'ara, and that is
the Gemara. All the Reuvs that were brought from, not all of them, some of them were from a Reuv that was the Metzias, like Porus.
That's true. That's true. Let's just conclude with one light. It's a good point. One light of oro, and that is we had Rav Acha Omer Gomel Ha'Oicher Ben Agmale. A Gomel that's Oicher Ben Agmale. V'nimtza Gomel Harig B'tzidoi B'yaduah Shezeh Hargoi. So what does Gomel Ha'Oicher mean? He's Oisik B'tashmish Amito. V'stam behemois B'shas Tashmish Mishtagoi. Stam behemois B'shas Tashmish, they become crazy and they start hitting. So it makes a lot of sense that if there's a gomel that's being oicher, he's oicing a tashmish, and there's a dead gomel on his side. So it makes a lot of sense that we know exactly who killed it. The Rashba on this Gemara and the Ritva say a different shot. Zok the Rashba, Yesh Mishapiresh Meshamish Imbaz Zugoi V'hoirig HaMestakel. A gomel is a real tsonua b'shas tashmish. And if another animal watches him be mishamish mitasai, he's going to kill that other animal. Ukemoisha Amru says the Rashba, Tznius mi gomel. Chazal said we could learn tznius from a gomel. So you want to know why this gomel killed? It's because the gomel is a tzanua, and he's going to kill anyone that watches him be mishtamish in bazugai. Meaning, it's gomel's lav daf. It's gomel's very much dafka. The Rashbam said stam behemus. It's not stam behemus. Why having a gomel dafka? While the gomel is a tzanua, the Ritva zok the zel bepshat. The magia on the Ritva is very bothered. He's quoting a Gemara that we learned sneers from a gomel. He means l'chayra a Gemara in Ervin, very good. Daf kumav and beis, but the Gemara over there says you don't learn sneers from the gomel. You learn sneers from the cat. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan in Molin in the Torah. Had we not had the Torah, Hayinu lemaiden sneers michasel. We could have learned sneers from a cat. V'gezel min amala. You'd learn gezela from an ant. V'arayos miyoyna. Derech eretz mitarnagol. But the point is, l'chayra you're learning from here. I saw in the Megadim Chadashim. He says it in Mesachtes Erevin, he says it in Mesachtes Brachis, he says it in Parshas Vayishlach, he has a gewaldige arichus on this. He brings the Dikduke Seif from Taka brings a different girsa in a Yalkut, that the Yalkut had the girsa, you don't learn sneers from the chasul, you learn sneers from the gomel. And being there, you learn sneers from the gomel, so it's over there, that was the girsa of the Rashba, and that's why the Rashba said, we picked Tafka the gomel oichiv. I'll tell you two interesting marmakoinas that he brings. Number one, he brings from Sadia Goyin. You ever hear of a gamla pritza? The Gemara talks sometimes about a gamla pritza. There's Gemara brachas daf nandalad amad aleph. Gemara says, my brother Ravina was walking the ristaka of the mechuzah, and he was attacked by a gamla pritza. Says the Rabbi Sadia Goyin, what was this gamla pritza? It was a gomel that was oisik in Tashmash Amita, and it was Gevor Meshuga, and he hit my brother Ravina. So you have this gomel ha'icher. It's the gomel dafka. But then he brings, it's really a mefurish Rashi. It's a Rashi right in the beginning of Parashas Vayishlach. It's unbelievable. Sometimes it's right there. We know that Yaakov Avinu sent Esav a mincha. Vayishlach Yaakov. So the Megeshik a mincha. He sent him a gift. What was the gift? Izim Masayim, Utyoshim Esrim, Rechela Masayim, the Elam Esrim. Gemalim meinikos ubneim shloishim paris arboim uparim asara asoynes esrim vayorim asara. So there's a whole list over here of all the animals that Yaakov sent Esav. Gemalim meinikos ubneim shloishim. What does it mean? Gemalim meinikos ubneim shloishim. So pashut it sounds like gemalim meinikos. These weren't just gemalim. They were female gemalim that were nursing uvneim together with their children shloishim. So is it together with the children shloishim? It's without the children shloishim. So Rashi mutches a little bit, but then Rashi says umedrash agada a whole different shot. Bneim over here doesn't mean it's children. Bneim is miloshin bneim. It was gemalim enikos. There were 30 gemalim, 30 camels that were nursing ubneim and their significant other zochar unikeva chilchon. He sent the zochar unikeva, and uvneim is just a remez. It's a hidden hint to the fact that Yaakov didn't only send the female camels, he sent male camels as well. It's Frank Rashi, if Yaakov sent not only the female camels, but also the male camels, then why didn't the pasuk just say that? We're saying it, Biramiso, Gmalim meinikos uvnehem. Al tikri uvnehem, ela uboneem. Al tikri bonoyach, ela boinoyach. So we mean the boinim, the ones with whom the gmalim have children, and that's a remes to the zocher. So just say it. Say that Yaakov sent the Zohar in a cave. So Rashi, it's a Rashi ala Torah right in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. Ulefisha tzanua betashmish. Because the gobel is a tzanua. Like Pirsumaya Kasev. The Torah gave the gobel covet. The Torah didn't mention the Zohar in a cave when it talks about the gobel. Because the camel is a tzanua. I mean that the camel is a tzanua. We repaid him. Mida keneged mida. The Torah used the shtickle midas atznius. We're talking about the gomel. It didn't mention the zocher and the keva. There's a lot more festering to talk about on this sugya, not the gomel. About hocha b'mamon hacharoy. Maybe we'll get into that tomorrow.